This is the weekly Parsha Shiur with Rabbi Chaim Bravender of Atid and WebYeshiva.org. Recorded live in Jerusalem at Beit Knesset Haramban. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for live interactive online Shiurim today.
I wanted to, the Parsha's Truma. I want to, I mean, I noticed you when you came in, but I was in the middle of saying something very important. So, the Parsha of Truma, the Parsha of Mishpatim, ends with these psukim. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, alei elai hahara, vayeshav, vetna lechat luchot ha'evin v'atorah v'mitzvah, asher katavti lehorotam. So there is a directive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, alei elai hahara. So, forget about the word elai, which is a difficult word, but what is alei hahara? What are we talking about? So Rashi says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, lachar matan Torah, alei elai hahara ve'yesham. So you see that Rashi differentiates between what happened on the sixth day of Sivan, and what happened during the next 40 days. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain on the 6th of Sivan. And on the 6th of Sivan, the people of Israel had this revelation. They all knew something. They were like Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu heard God speaking the words of the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that that was the case, right? He knew it because he had this first-hand experience which enabled him to know without a doubt that God was speaking to him. At that time, the people, Bnei Yisrael, had the same experience. They were just like Moshe Rabbeinu on Vav Sivan. Then Moshe Rabbeinu apparently came down from the mountain on Vav Sivan. And here it's not so clear. Maybe that's when Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the parasha of Mishpatim. Mishpatim is a parasha of laws, of rules. It's some of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught Bnei Yisrael some of the Torah, parashat Mishpatim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to, and then the people said, Naseh v'nishma, you know, they were willing to accept. And somehow, accepting the Torah, was dependent on them knowing what they were accepting. Which I think, you know, is not so unreasonable. Like, how can you accept something if you don't know what the demand is? And really, on Vav Sivan, Chazal say that Bnei Yisrael only heard a very small part of the Aseret HaDibrot. Maybe Anochi Hashem Elokecha, maybe the first Dibur. Maybe two, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, V'lo Yelecha. But there was no further content. There was no Torah content, and that Torah content came to Bnei Yisrael when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, and he taught them the parasha of Mishpatim, as though to say, this is an example of what the Torah wants of us. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alei elai hahara. So if Rashi says, Vayom Hashem el Moshe, lachar matan Torah, what does Rashi mean? What's lachar matan Torah? It means after the sixth day of Sivan, where the words matan Torah are not about the Torah being given to Bnei Yisrael, but it's about what we call revelation. Or in Hebrew, we say hitgalut. And for people who like to be confusing, you can say theophany. In other words, there was a connection at a moment in time between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that connection had content. It wasn't just an experience. It wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu looking at the sneh. But it was a revelation that included content. But Chachamim wisely say that the content was very limited. There was very small content. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Maybe that's all they heard. That's the only thing they knew. But Moshe Rabbeinu was directed to teach Bnei Yisrael the parasha of Mishpatim, which enabled them but later in that same day, enabled them to say, Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh, what we know about, and v'nishma, what we will hear about. But Na'aseh v'nishma had to be said about something. I just remind you that at the end of the parasha of Bishalach, the pasuk says, Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat Bisham Nisahu, and there it's indicated that Bnei Yisrael received some of the Torah, or certain things that are Kibbud Avraham, and Dinim, and maybe Paraduma. There were different versions, but the Chachamim thought that Bnei Yisrael must have been aware of some of the contents of the Torah after Kriyat Yam Suf, but before the Parashah of Yitro. So that's what the first Pasuk means. Now, Rashi says, Alei Elai Hahara Ve'yesham. Rashi says, Arba'im Yom. Now, what Arba'im Yom are we talking about? We're talking about the Arba'im Yom from Vav Sivan until Yud Zayin Tammuz. Okay, 40 days from Vav Sivan until Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Yud Zayin B'Tammuz became famous in later Jewish history as being a fast day. But at that time, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz was just a day. 40 days after Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he came down, and what did he find? The Chet HaEgel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu found. Now the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that we're learning, Pasuk Yud Bet V'Tnalecha, as Luchot HaEvin V'Torah V'Mitzvah, Asher Katavti L'Horotam. So Luchot HaEvin, we know that there were Luchot HaEvin. And what exactly the Torah, the Mitzvah is, we don't know. So Rashi says, you see, Luchot HaEvin V'Torah V'Mitzvah, Asher Katavti L'Horotam, Kol Shesh Me'ot U'Shlosh U'Shrei Mitzvot, Bichlal, Aseret HaDibrotei. So, how does Rashi explain it? Rashi says, Luchot HaEvan, that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Luchot HaEvan, they include the Torah and the Mitzvah. And the Torah and the Mitzvah are the 613 Mitzvot. How do the Luchot HaEvan contain the Torah and the Mitzvah? It was some kind of a trick. You turned it around and you saw all the rest of the Torah. So Rashi says, Rabbeinu Sa'adia Piresh Ba'azharot Sheyasa L'Kol Dibu V'Dibu Mitzvot HaTliot Ba. So we know that Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a book in which he takes each of the Aseret HaDibrot and he shows that each of the Aseret HaDibrot is a kind of a model or a prototype of many other mitzvot. So that even though there are only 10 Dibrot, they somehow include all the 613 mitzvot. So Rashi says, so I guess that what Rashi is saying, Rashi didn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai looked at Rav Sadia Gaon's book and figured out that there were 613 mitzvot. But Rashi is saying that what Rav Sadia Gaon did much later in history, right, in the 9th century, the 10th century of the Common Era, Rav Sadia Gaon did it because he could do it. So if he could do it, so certainly Moshe Rabbeinu could do it. So it makes sense that Moshe Rabbeinu, during the 40 days that he was on the mountain, would go through each of the Aseret HaDibrot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would teach him all the other mitzvot that are connected to any of these. So that's what Rashi means. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayakov Moshe, Yoshua Bishoto, V'Yal Moshe, El Har Ha Elokim. Har Ha Elokim means the mountain where it is clear that God is dwelling. Right? There was a cloud, there was a fire, there was, you know, that's Har Ha Elokim. like Moshe v'Yoshua b'Shoto. Rashi says, interestingly, lo yadati mativo shel Yoshua kan. It means, I don't know what role Yoshua is playing here. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to go with Yoshua? V'omer ani shaya talmid melave l'rav ad mikom hagbalat chumei ha'har. So I say, what I say is that it's true that Yoshua didn't have a specific job, but he was doing the right thing. Because it's the right thing for the Talmud to accompany the Rav to wherever the Rav has to go. She'eino rashai lelech misha v'hala, but he went as far as he was allowed to go. Because that was the, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, everybody can go up to here, but no further. Only you can go up on the mountain. Visham, v'yal Moshe levado, El Har Ha Elokim. That's the second part of the pasuk, right? Vayal Moshe El Har Ha Elokim. He went up himself. There was Yoshua accompanied him part of the way, and then he went up by himself. VYoshua Natasham Ohalo VNitakev Sham Kol Arba'im Yom. Shekein Matzino. And in fact, what happened to Yoshua? He pitched the tent. And he waited there for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. He knew that it would be 40 days. V'chein matzinuk shirad Moshe, v'hishma Yoshua et kol ha'am b'ra'o, ramadnu shelo ya Yoshua imahem. Okay, so Yoshua was not with the Am. He was not with the people who built the Egel, but he was in this tent that was halfway up the mountain, or partway up the mountain, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come. Ready for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. Pasuk Yudalit. Velaskenim amar shivu lanu baze ad asher nashuv aleichem v'inei aron v'chuim mechem v'bal devarim yigash aleichem. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people. I'm not leaving you, and here I have Aaron and Hur. I mean, my assistants. If you have a question, you can ask them. Then the pasuk says, "Va'ya'ad Moshe lahave hasanan et ahar." That Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and the cloud covered up the mountain. Va'yishkon kivod Hashem al Har Sinai v'chaseu ha'anan sheishit yamim. Va'yikra Moshe biyom ha'shvi'i mitoch ha'anan. All right, so. It was 6 days, and then the seventh day, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha'shvi'i. Right, you have in the Rashi pasuk Ted Zayin, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha'shvi'i lomar aseret ha'dibrot to Moshe v'chol b'nei Yisrael omdim el shechalaka katuv kavod leMoshe. So it's hard to know, like, how does Rashi fit this in? I mean, you see the problem. Moshe Rabbeinu, it was like saying that it started over again, even though the beginning of the teaching of that Aseret HaDibrot happened before, but now he starts over again, and he teaches him Aseret HaDibrot. V'hem ayu b'tchilat 40 yom sh'ala l'Moshe l'kabel aluchot l'amedcha sh'kol ha'nichnas l'machane shechina ta'un prisha shisha yamim. Alright, this is a matter that doesn't really concern us. The last pasuk, Vayavo Moshe b'toch ha'anan, Vayale lahar, Vayimoshe b'har, Arba'im yom, Va'arba'im laila. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and this is the end of the parasha. This is the end of the parasha of Mishpatim. So, again, if I had to order things, I would say there was Hitgalut, right? God appeared to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody hears it. Everybody is sort of in a state of prophecy at that time. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, teaches Bnei Yisrael Parashat Mishpatim. Bnei Yisrael say, Na'aseh v'nishma. But this is not, I'm just trying to read the psukim as they are written in the Torah. You could read it differently, but this is why I'm trying to read it. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the parasha of Mishpatim, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, now I'm going to give you the Torah. Now come up and get the Torah. So the Torah consisted of Luchot HaEvan, which is like Torah Shebichtav. Right, you haven't got more Torah Shebichtav than Luchot HaEvan. And then the Torah, the HaMitzvah, which is like Torah Shebaal Peh. Rashi says, Rav Saadia Gaon did the same thing. He proved that in the 10 categories of Aseret HaDibrot, you have all of the mitzvot and all of the interdictions, right? They're all the lavim, the mitzvot that say and the mitzvot lota say are all included, according to Rav Saadia Gaon. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu learned when he was on the mountain. The beginning of this week's parasha is called Truma. Truma, maybe before I read the Pasuk, I just remind you of the fact that the end of Parashat Shemot, the end of Sefer Shemot, is about building the Mishkan. And there are 5 parashiyot that are about building the Mishkan. Truma Titzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel Pekudeh. Now, Truma Titzaveh and Vayakel Pekudeh are mere images. It's true that Truma is about Kelei HaMishkan, the vessels, and Titzaveh is about building the Mishkan, whereas Vayakhel is about building the Mishkan, and Pekudeh is about the Kelim that you put into, sound like they're reversed, the two, but they're basically the same. Vayakhel Pekudeh and Truma Titzaveh are basically the same. That's a good question. See me next year. Say it. But we're not, you know.
There's a sixth one, maybe.
There's a what?
The sixth talks about the
Mizbeach. I said that?
No.
Okay. So let's go again. Truma Titzaveh equals Vayakhel Pekudeh. When I say equals, I mean they're almost exactly identical. Now, you could see that is true. If you look in a Chumash with Rashi, and you look for the Rashi and the Parashiyot of Vayakhel and Pekudeh, you will notice that it doesn't exist. It almost doesn't exist. Vayakhel Pekudeh. Because Rashi has already explained everything in Teruma and Titzaveh. So you see, even Rashi was not able to differentiate them. To say, the Shulchan here is different than the Shulchan there, or the Aron here is different than that. They're the same. The parasha of Kitisa, right, the middle parasha, is more complicated and involved. Partially, it's about the Mishkan, right? They're pointing to Bezalel, to build the Mishkan, for example, but Kitisa also includes the story of building the Egel HaZahav. And of course, this is a mystery, because it's no longer easy to know what came before what. Why would you have Truma and Titzaveh, then the Egel HaZahav, and then Vayakhel Pekudeh? Where does the Egel HaZahav really belong? It belongs when Moshe Rabbeinu came down after the 40 days, right? He went up on Vav Sivan. 40 days later was Shivasa B'Tammuz. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu discovered the Egel HaZahav. So at that time, they hadn't built the Mishkan yet. So how come Truma Titzaveh exists? Why do these two parashiyot exist? If you left them out, I'm not making a suggestion, I'm just sort of fantasizing. If you left them out, Truma and Titzaveh, then everything would be kind of reasonable. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Mishpatim, he went up to Har Sinai. Then he came down in Yizayim B'Tammuz. And Yizayim B'Tammuz, he looked around and he said, what's all this screaming and yelling that's going on? And he found out about the Egel HaZahav. Moshe Rabbeinu had to clean up things. That took him another 30 days. Another 40 days. Rav Yud Zayin B'Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Elul. Until Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu was directed to go up to the mountain the second time. That's in also in the parasha of Ki Tisa, and he went up again for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, there's a difference. The first time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Luchot, the second time, Moshe Rabbeinu chiseled them out and brought them with him up on up to Har Sinai. But finally, Moshe Rabbeinu went down, came down from the mountain the second time on what day? 40 days after Rosh Chodesh Elul, right, Yom Kippur. He came down in Yom Kippur, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayakel. He got everybody together. And he got everybody together and told them, what did he tell them? Let's build the Mishkan. That was the first directive that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Bnei Yisrael. I'm excluding Parashat Mishpatim, which was not about doing something, but it was about the laws in general. But when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on Yom HaKippurim, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael, now go and build a Mishkan, now. So now, again, we're kind of stuck. So what pray? How does Truma and Tetzaveh fit in? Because not only, you have to understand, not only is Truma and Tetzaveh out of order, out of order in the sense that if you just leave them out of the Torah itself entirely, it would all be in order, and we'd end up with the same information. So it's not just a regular kind of Ein Mukdam U'Muchar BaTorah, which is sort of two events are presented in non-chronological order, right? Which I told you, that the at the beginning, the first pasuk in Bamidbar says that it took place on the Chodesh HaSheni, and in Perek Tet, when the Torah talks about Pesach Sheni, it says the Chodesh HaRishon. So there, we have two striking points, and the first is later than the second. So about that, you could say, Ein Mukdam Mukhar BaTorah, but when it comes to Truma and Tetzaveh, what are we actually saying? And not only saying that it's out of order, it's also unnecessary. Well, what do we get from it? What would be wrong, what would be bad, if the Torah at the end of the parasha of Mishpatim said that Moshe Rabbeinu should go up at Har Sinai, and then in the parasha of Ki Tavoh, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai and sees the Chet HaEgel, then 40 days later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, take Luchot and go back up on Har Sinai, and then he comes back on Yom HaKippurim, and he says to everybody, okay, let's build a Mishkan. Vayakel Pekudek. What would be missing in the Torah? It's not just a question of a Mukdam Uchar, as Rashi says, but it's a question of necessary and unnecessary. It's absolutely unnecessary. Now, it's true that there are other cases in the Torah. I don't want to go into them, but the other cases in the Torah, like when Eliezer tells the story of Abraham sent him to find a wife, and he tells the whole story over again. Okay, but here we're talking about mitzvot. We're talking about commands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since Rashi is the one who taught us that the Torah does not like to waste words, spend words for say words for no purpose, this is simply, as far as I can tell, unnecessary. So now let's look at the beginning of Truma. Shemot Perek Kaf Hei. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor daber b'nei Yisrael v'ikhu li Truma me'ed kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu et Trumati. That's the beginning of our parasha. This Truma that we're talking about was the Truma that was used to build the Mishkan. So it seems that if a Yikuli Truma means take something from the Bnei Yisrael, that they are about to build the Mishkan in the parish of Truma. But that's wrong. They're not about to build the Mishkan in the parish of Truma. As we have pointed out, the parish of Truma seems to be unnecessary, extra, something that, even though it's true, Rashi explains the parish of Truma and Tetzaveh, not Vayakel Pekudei, but that's because they're there first. But we don't get anything from Truma and Tetzaveh other than confusion. Shmot Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Chet. Shmot Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Chet. Vayiten El Moshe Kechaloto Ledaber Ito Bahar Sinai. This is a pasuk in the parasha of Kitisa. When Moshe Rabbeinu received or finished hearing God speaking the Torah, God gave him Shnei Luchot Ha'edut, Luchot Evin Ktuvim, Ve'etzpa Elokim. Okay, what does that mean? Ktuvim Ve'etzpa Elokim. Let's say it means that when Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Luchot, he was able to tell that it was done by a divine author. He was able to tell somehow. He looked at it. He said, this is not what could happen if it was done in the world. It was something special. So now let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. Now we know that Rashi believed in Ein mukdam u'muchar. That means to say, Rashi was not surprised. Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. That's the truth. The Torah is not always concerned about chronology. Usually, it is. Abraham before Yitzchak, Yitzchak before Yaakov, and Yaakov before Yosef. Usually things are chronological. But if they are not chronological, we don't have to be nervous about that. That's not something terrible. So Rashi says, Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah, Maaseh ha'Egel kodem, Kodem letzivuim lechad ha-mishkan yamim rabim haya. Rashi says, as we said, I think, or we said, as Rashi said, that when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when was the tzivui to build the Mishkan, according to Rashi, much later than the Egel, than the Maaseh Egel. Again, what was the date that Moshe Rabbeinu discovered the Egel? Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. What was the date that Moshe Rabbeinu went up, back up on mountain, on Har Sinai? Rosh Chodesh Elul. And what was the date that Moshe Rabbeinu came down, the 40 days later? Yom HaKippurim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael, go build the Mishkan. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, it was long before. It was long before the Masa Egel was long before the mitzvah of building Mishkan. So what about Truma and Tetzaveh? Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. So remember, the Rashi seems to say, okay, nothing to worry about. But I'm not worried about the Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. I'm worried about the redundancy, the unnecessary aspect of it. Because Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah doesn't mean that either one of them is unnecessary. It just means that they're not chronologically arranged. So there may be some other kind of arrangement. But here by Truma Tetzaveh, it's not only that it appears in the wrong place. If Truma Tetzaveh was in the Torah and Vayakel Pekude was not in the Torah, so I would say, Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. But what does it do to say Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah? Well, you have it twice. You have it in the right place, and you have it in the wrong place. So the fact that you have it in the wrong place deserves some kind of interpretation. But Rashi doesn't explain that. All he says is, Harei b'shivah asah b'tamuz, mishtabru aluchot. When Moshe already came down from the mountain the first time, he broke the luchot. Or the Yom HaKippurim, Nitratzeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael. Or the Moharat, Yud Aleph Tishrei, Hitchilu B'Midvat HaMishkan. They brought donations for building the Mishkan. V'hu Kam V'Echad V'Nisan. It was from Tishrei. It took them until the first day of Nisan to start putting up the Mishkan. Like the Mei Miluim, they are called. It took another week. They put it up, they take it down, they put it up, take it down. But that's what Rashi said. Okay, so that's the pasuk. That's the pasuk where Rashi tries to answer the question. If you turn the page, I remind you this pasuk. Vata lech neche et ha'am el asher dibarti lecha. Hine malachi yelech lefanecha. Remember last week we talked about the malach sheyelech lefanecha. But now the malach is not so important, but it's reflective of the last phrase in this pasuk. Biyom pakdi ufakadeti alehem chatatam. What does that mean? Pakdi means on the day I remember them, or the day I notice them. Notice B'nai Yisrael, ufakadeti alehem chatatam. I will remind them of their transgression. Rashi says, biyom pakdi, you see the last Rashi? You see that last Rashi? Biyom pakdi, ata shamati elecha michalotam yachat. There was this discussion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after the Chet HaEgel, let's get rid of Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu defended them and said, no, what are the people going to say? What are the nations of the world going to say? It won't look good. Please don't destroy them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol acquiesced to Moshe Rabbeinu's position. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this. Biyom pakdi upakadeti alehem chatatam. And Rashi says, ata shamati elecha milechalotam yachat. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochol, have listened to you. I've accepted your position that Bnei Yisrael should not be destroyed altogether, meaning the ones who were more active in the Chet HaEgel and the ones who were less active. I listen to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. But tamid tamid kshefkod alehem avonotehem, in the future, when they sin and they have to be punished, v'nifkadeti alehem ma'at min ha'avon hazeh im sha'ar ha'avonot. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this remarkable thing, that even though Bnei Yisrael has been forgiven enough to allow Jewish history to continue, but that doesn't mean that they have achieved atonement for the Chet HaEgel. They have not. But instead of punishing them roundly for what they deserve right now, instead of destroying Bnei Yisrael, because that's the reasonable punishment, they won't be destroyed. But in all history, whatever Bnei Yisrael has to be punished, whatever there has to be in exile, whatever has to be any of the things that the Torah mentioned as punishment, Bnei Yisrael will be punished a little bit more. And that will go on the cheshbon of the Chet HaEgel. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable pasuk. And it says, don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu's arguing on behalf of Am Yisrael affected an essential change. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already said that they deserve to be punished. And it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu could come and say, how about not punishing them, you know, like that wasn't an option. What Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve was a kind of stay of execution where the punishment itself would be meted out over the years of history. As v'yom pakdi, when I punish Bnei Yisrael for something else that they might do in the future, uvakadeti alehem chatatam. And I will remind them of the sin that they did in this case. So Rashi, the next pasuk, Perek Lamed Gimel pasuk Aleph. This is the parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, kaisher deber ish al re'ehu v'shaver al machaneh u'mishartu Yoshua ben Nun layamish mitoch ha'olam. So So we have so this is Moshe Rabbeinu coming back after having had this meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and which everybody agrees was the highest level of Matan Torah that was ever achieved. The first time around, the second time was already a lower level because the Luchot were prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. The second time. The first time the Luchot came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second time they came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So I would like to tell you two things. One is in the Sfat Emet. One is in the Sfat Emet, which is, and the other is my idea. I don't usually tell you my ideas, but I'm besides arranging the material, but in this case, I thought I'd make an exception. And so let's look first at the, I don't know what you should do first, but let's look at the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet says, this is the Sfat Emet and Parashat Naso. You see, you know how it works? It's printed in the book, the Sfat Emet, according to the year that he said this particular drasha. So he said the drasha in Tav Reish Nun Hey, which you can sit quickly and try to figure out when that is in some other way of counting. So he said the drasha for Parashat Naso, which is in the book of Bamidbar, by the Parashat of Naso. But we know that the Parashat of Naso is the Parashat that has the Ein Mukdam Umuchar Psukim in it, right? Pesach Sheini is in that parasha. So he quotes the Medrash. Yikarahi mipninim, the Pasuk says, Mikoin gadol shenichnas lifnai v'livnin. Like a Talmid Chacham kodem erev Shabbat. Talmid Chacham kodem ayin Shabbat. I'm sorry. So a Talmid Chacham comes before a Kohen Gadol. Ki agam sheyesh seder madregot ba'olam. It was even though there's some kind of order in the way the Torah organized us. Some of us are Kohanim, some of us are Leviim, and some of us are Yisraelim. And the notion of being a Kohen Gadol goes across the whole spectrum, right? I'm sorry, the notion of being a Talmid Chacham differentiates everybody. As the Gemara says, if you have a Talmid Chacham and you have a Kohen, so who goes first? Who goes first in places where you go first, like Kriyat Torah, or Dekat Amazon, we know that there's a certain, we have to recognize that there's a system of priorities. He says, Ki agam sheyesh seder madregot ba'olam, aval haTorah hi shmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenikra shalom. Even though there is order, then that a Kohen should come before a Levi, and a Levi should come before a Yisrael, but the Torah is out of order. HaTorah hu mishmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenikra shalom. Right? Shalom means that there are no differentiations. Again, shalom, what does shalom mean? Shalom means that everything, everybody is the same. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael are differentiations that come about because a function. Kohen does this, a Levi does that, Yisrael does that. So there's a differentiation. What does the word shalom mean? What does the word shalom mean? That things are not differentiated. Everybody gets along with everybody else. So if you say, HaTorah hi, Shmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zikra Shalom, so you say that the reason that the Talmid Chacham takes precedence even over the Kohen Gadol is because the Talmid Chacham is the one who has the Torah. And the Torah is what produces shalom. So that as far as the Talmid Chacham is concerned, this differentiation doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a Kohen, a Levi, and a Yisrael. That's what the Sfat Emet says. V'chi Torat Hashem Tmima. And we know that the Pasuk says the Torat Hashem Tmima. What is Tamim? Tamim means perfect, unblemished. The Torah is is perfect and blessed. Peru show tmima shleimut. Sheyesh b'kol ot hakol. Every letter has everything in it. The Sefer Yetzirah has taught us that when God created the world, He created it with the letters of the alphabet. So that the alphabet is where everything is contained. So every word, which is made up of letters of the alphabet, has everything in it. V'lachein ein mutar mucha b'Torah. Ki hu achdut b'elokei echad. And that's why there is no order, necessary order in the Torah. Because what does necessary order mean? It means that you could differentiate between one thing and another. One thing should come first, and the other thing should come second. It doesn't matter how you differentiate. You could differentiate by the calendar. You could differentiate by the expense of it. You could differentiate by the importance of it. But when it comes to, when you get closer and closer to God through the Torah, such differentiation doesn't exist. And that's what the lesson of Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah is, that there really isn't anything in the Torah which is more important, which has come first, that something else comes second because it's less important. That doesn't really exist. L'chein Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah Ki Hu Achdut Be'Elokei Echad, because everything is ultimately swallowed up into the Echad, the unity, which is the expression of God. Everything is that way. V'lachein nismichu parshiyot halalu mivchirat halaviyim shehem lifnim mehadigalim. He's talking about Midbar. V'akohanim b'madraga pinimiyut yoter v'kohen gadol emala mikulam. So he says, if you read the Parshiyot in Bamidbar, first they are differentiating the different communities in Am Yisrael. There are Shvatim, there are Leviim, there are Kohanim, there's the Kohen Gadol, everybody has their place. But then, in Bamidbar, we learn the Parashah of Nazir, and the parasha of Nazir says, according to the Sfat Emet, everybody can be one. There's no differentiation, because Nazir is a person who yearns to be closer to God, and the closer you get to God, the less the other differentiations mean anything. So what the Sfat Emet did was explain to us why Ein Mukdam U'Mukhar B'Torah, at least according to Rashi, is an important principle in the Torah itself, and that is because differentiation is not the truth of things. It's like Vayavdel in Bereshit. Right? Vayavdel means God differentiate between the waters above and the waters below, right? Remember that? So, what's the Rakia? Do you remember? You remember the Rakia? The Rakia, Rashi says, based on Chazal, that the Rakia was also water, that sort of got hardened like ice. It got hardened like ice, so you say, if it's water differentiating between water and water, what do you need for? Why do God have to make a Rakia? And if a Rakia is supposed to differentiate between the above and the below, so why didn't God make it out of steel or reinforced aluminum or something, or whatever you could make, whatever make planes out of? Why did they make it out of water? So the answer may be, and this the Kotzker Rebbe said, the answer is that differentiation is the world in which we live. But the Torah teaches us that differentiation is not the world that we wish to maintain. That the reason that the Rakia is made out of water to differentiate between the waters above and the water below is because we could possibly pierce that Rakia. We can join the waters above and the waters below. And there's a hint in the story of Bereshit, that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that we should try to do that. We should do that. We should go in that direction. And that may be pshat in the story of Migdal Bavel, but I don't want to go into that now. So that's what the Sfat Emet explained. But the Sfat Emet did not explain to us again why we need the extra parshiyot of Truma and Tetzaveh. So I go back to this, what I have to say. Going back to that pasuk, Yom Pakti Upakadati. Remember that pasuk? In Perek Lamed Aleph, the last pasuk, when God punishes us, we will continue to be punished for the Chet HaEgel. So it seems to me that in the Torah, there are two different narratives. There's the narrative that could have been, and the narrative that actually was. And the narrative that could have been was that the Mishkan would have been built after the Torah was given and the Chet HaEgel never happened. The second narrative in the Torah is the narrative of what actually did happen. That the Mishkan was actually built after the Chet HaEgel. When I say two narratives, I mean that these two narratives we carry around with us all the time. And I'm not just saying that, you know, Jews are good at guilt, which apparently they may be. But there are two narratives. There is, like, when I build a Mishkan, I can't think of the Chet HaEgel. But I know that the Chet HaEgel is there someplace inside of me and will ultimately affect what I do. So I live in two worlds. And that's what the Torah directed me to do. The Torah wants me to live in those two worlds. And says when you build a Mishkan, you should build it without feeling that you are kind of encumbered by the Chet HaEgel. Or whatever you do in life, you know, you could do things without being filled with guilt all the time. On the other hand, you have to understand that there is no way to rid ourselves of our past. We are the children of our parents and the children of their parents, all the way back to the Chet HaEgel. And so we live in disharmony. We live in disharmony, and everybody knows that sometimes, often, we're able to live as though we were just born today. Everything is wonderful. Nothing came yesterday. Nothing ever happened before. Let's go and do it. Let's make it. Let's build it. And sometimes we wonder if we are not reconnecting to some dark past that we have been living with ourselves. So I don't know if this is psychology, but I think that it's kind of regular. Everybody goes into these states of depression. And you know that Rav Nachman of Breslov, who apparently suffered from depression and fought depression, he's the one who said, Asur lehityaesh, that it's forbidden to become depressed. What do you mean that it's forbidden to become that? What does that mean? I mean, he himself was depressed and apparently had to go to doctors to find relief of his own depression. So what does he mean? What could he possibly mean to say asur l'tyesh? He say asur to eat chazer. Okay, but it's my choice. I don't have to eat chazer. So according to Rav Nachman of Breslov, Yi'ush is also, at least the Yi'ush he's talking about, which may be not clinical kind of Yi'ush, but the Yi'ush, the kind of frustration and distress that everybody has sometimes. He said, Asur, we are always building the Mishkan. Which Mishkan are we building? The Mishkan that of Parshat Truma and Tetzaveh. And you can't let the Chet HaEgel get in your way. Asur l'tyaesh doesn't mean that there's no yi'ush, and it doesn't mean that we have no history, but it means that our obligation is to grab onto the narrative of Truma and Tetzaveh and not allow the narrative of Ayakel Pekudei to determine our own lives and actions. Have a good Shabbos.